Is it okay if we have a quick story time on this podcast, primarily about stories?
How dare you? Yeah, brother, come on, man. You know I love me some story time. Now, I'm going to podcast about your story time in a pseudo mini podcast later on the same episode, however, to break down how you told the story, you know, whether your production value was at, you're good.
You're going to critique my story. My production value is your
production
value.
I never said critique. No. Wait, about your story. Although it would exactly be the same production value quote as like my medium for talking about your production value, which almost seems a little too on the nose. So, I'm thinking about it a lot. What's up?
So I recently finished reading Brian Michael Bendis's Daredevil run. I finished it a few weeks back, actually. And it was an amazing read. Bendis has, you know, unfortunately, within the past probably 5 to 6 years, his writing has fallen off, not what it once was as a whole. But that's neither here nor there. At the end of his Daredevil run, I read it in omnibus format. So at the end of the second omni, he had a little page or two pages. It was called His Farewell to Daredevil. And essentially what it was just him recollecting the good times he had writing that story and how much he appreciated the fan outpouring of love and support as he wrote that those stories. And, you know, just all the good times he had writing it. And, you know, he had a really couple of, you know, funny things in there. Like he said, it didn't seem like it made sense for him to stop writing Daredevil, because he said it felt like breaking up with a girlfriend that you really liked for no reason. Like, you know, we're telling good stories and people seem to like it, but, you know, like we had a time with it and now it's said and done and it's over.
Almost sounds as much as of a, you know, like an emotional venting, almost like an outlet, as much as it is like his swan song, you know?
A little bit. He just kind of said that, to, you know, just to kind of, I think, explain how it felt to leave a character who you've worked on for X amount of years. And it seems like most writers kind of have that, like when they have a really good run with a character they get attached to.
Right, yeah, I can see that.
But he told this one story in particular about how, or when he won the Eisner Award for his Daredevil run. And because it really was that good. And he told this story about how, you know, he goes up and he gets his award, his Eisner. And after the award ceremony, he talks about the first person who came up and shook his hand.
Okay.
He said that person was Frank Miller. And he said that Frank Miller was indeed the first person to come up and shake his hand. And he said that the first thing that Frank said to him was, you know that Eisner belongs to me, right?
And oh, shit.
And Bendis, you know, in like a joking yet humble fashion, gestured like he was going to give the Eisner to Miller. And he said Miller took it and then, you know, gave it back. It was just like, you know, a joke and all that. But then he talked about, you know, like the layers to that, and, you know, how Miller congratulated him for a truly amazing Daredevil run. And Bendis talked about how, you know, even though it was just a joke and, it, you know, wasn't anything that was, you know, an ill will, it was just...
That's good, because I was wondering.
Yeah, no, it was
There's always a little truth behind each joke, but yeah.
And he said that, you know, with Miller, even though it was just a joke and everybody knew that it was just a joke, he said there was actually some truth to it, because had not Miller recreated Daredevil, well, I shouldn't say recreated, but reignited the character and really helped make Daredevil what he is today, then...
Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah, then you know, there wouldn't be a Bendis run. We wouldn't have a Joe Quesada and Kevin Smith run. You know, it wouldn't be a Mark Waid or even an Ed Brubaker run.
Like, he made the character popular again.
Yeah, well, he made the character relevant, made him something different, something that stood out from what he was prior. And, you know, I love hearing stories like that. It's good to see when writers acknowledge writers who came before them and ones who don't try to reinvent the wheel, but instead they just try to build upon the legacy that other great writers have already laid out.
Right.
Yeah. I kind of wish that more writers would take that approach instead of everyone trying to catch their own lightning in a bottle, instead just maybe sit back and try to enjoy the process more. You know, I speak as an esteemed writer, of course, you know, but, you know, but seriously, though, I do kind of wish that more writers would maybe take an approach like that. I think that, I don't know, maybe it would help produce more high quality stories today than maybe what we're getting.
I think we would get a more common influx of quality stories rather than what we kind of get present day, which is like stories that are dangerously laced with your own agenda or with the agenda of, you know, the guy who pays you, who cuts the check, you know?
Yeah.
Or at least stories that, I'm going to go back to something you said, which is very smart. I want the homies to hear it again. Go back to stories which prove relevancy, which go back to that grounded, oh, this is important nature. You know? Yeah. I'm right there with you. Yeah. Because there are some stories out there today that I can give a take because they are so far-fetched, which I guess is almost ironic considering we're talking about the super person genre. I get it. It's all tongue-in-cheek. But at the same time, that doesn't mean your character can't be human. So, you know, pros and cons, give and take, blah, blah, blah. Here we are.
Indeed.
Yes.
With that, guys, welcome back to the Superhero Homies Podcast. My name is Quentin, and as always, I am here with the homie Kevin.
Yo, yo, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, how are you guys all doing out there today? Hopefully, each and every one of you has had a great Halloween, if you are listening concurrently. If not, you know, hi, welcome to this episode. Yeah, tonight's going to be kind of a fun one. This is one that, you know, we hear some rumors of every now and then, and I don't know about you, but I've seen growing popularity for this particular character as well, which I think might have been some of the original inspiration in planning this one tonight of all nights. But yeah, man, let's talk about Moon Knight.
Yes.
Let's have a glance at the character.
Absolutely.
Yes, a character glance, if you will.
Moon Knight is the topic of discussion today, guys.
Indeed.
The vengeance of Khonshu himself. We are talking about the man, the myth, the crazed legend. This is going to be a really interesting one because Moon Knight is such an intriguing character. And also, admittedly, it has been a while since we've done like any kind of character breakdown.
Exactly. So to define what that is for all of the homies who have not gone back to the old catalog of episodes, which we have in prior seasons. So we used to do this awesome thing where we literally picked a character out which had either relevancy to the current times or growing in popularity, and we would break them down quite literally when they were created, what issue they came out as, whenever they became more popular, their pros, the cons, powers, everything, blah, 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 and really just kind of give ourselves the bare bones superhero homies versions of Wikipedia up on this air tonight. So yeah, sit back and relax, enjoy, and teach yourself about the badass Moon Knight.
Yes. Yeah, so of course, Moon Knight, it was recently announced that he will be getting his own TV series on Disney Plus. And as of now, the very strong leading rumor is that Oscar Isaac will be portraying Mark Spector, aka Moon Knight.
Yeah. Let's talk about Oscar Isaac real quick, just to give homies out there who don't know who that name is.
Yes, so he is obviously he's an actor. The thing that most of you. Yeah. The thing that most of you probably recognize him from, for either better or worse, would be the recent Star Wars trilogy. He played, what was his character's name? Not Ray, not Finn, Poe. He played Poe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They gave him, you know, so much to do in those movies. Really showed off his acting prowess. Really showed off everybody's acting prowess. Anyways,
for those who don't know, hating. I was about to say, for those who don't understand that, that is Q being very facetious, just layered.
But movies that he was in where he actually got to flex his acting chops. One is definitely Ex Machina.
That's true.
A movie that only starred like three people in, and man, he was just. It was amazing.
Out of context, that's not a great bragging point if you listen to that the wrong way. No, he's really good, guys. Yeah, Star Wars just didn't give him a big plate, okay?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, if you haven't seen Ex Machina, though, and you're into, like, more, not conspiratorial, but, like, what-if future scenarios, this is a really good one with a really small, intimate cast.
Oh, yeah. If you really liked Isaac Asimov, and if you even know who that name is, go watch the movie. Trust us. All right.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But he was also, odd enough, this would not be his first Marvel appearance. He also played Apocalypse in Age of Apocalypse.
I forget that. That's awkward. Oof. Oof, man. It's not bad, no, but it's like, no. Oh, man.
No, it's not bad at all. I mean, that's not not the greatest X-Men movie by any means.
You know what this means? This directly translates now to where it is prophesied. Yes, I use such a powerful word on purpose. It is now prophesied, handwritten in stone, that his role as Moon Knight is going to be exceptional. Like, he's just going to do an immaculate job with it. Why? Every actor who's been given a superhero role and then whitewashed and then made into another superhero shortly thereafter has been great for the second role, never great for the first role.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way.
Chris Evans, Michael B. Jordan, help me out, who else?
Now, I will put an asterisk by Michael B. Jordan, because technically he played a superhero in Chronicle, which was great.
Okay.
And then he sucked, or he didn't suck, but the movie he was in sucked, Fanforstic.
Yeah, Fanforstic, yep.
And then, of course, well, I know he killed it as Killmonger. No pun intended.
That was intended.
It was not intended.
Brother, that was intended. Don't you dare. Even if you didn't consciously intend it, you subconsciously intended the hell out of that pun. Like, your brain heard the name Killmonger and said, ooh, killed it. Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
I'm going to cover my tracks by saying pun not intended. Let's face it. We've all done that. I have.
Hey, you know.
But yeah.
Wasn't on purpose. But yeah, you are right, though. There is kind of like a lingering curse of, if at first you don't see it as a superhero, wait a few years, and then you can do it again, even better.
Call your agent back and try again.
Right.
Yep.
Hopefully this is true. There's been a lot of people who were rumored to take on this role, but none have gotten the steam that Oscar has. While it's not 100% confirmed, it has been confirmed that he has been in talks with Marvel for this role, and the fact that Marvel hasn't come out and said anything to the contrary yet only leads credence to the potential that Oscar Isaac will play Moon Knight. I think that he can pull it off. Oscar Isaac, he's one of those people where I'm not sure if it's because of just aesthetics or if it's also because he's such a good actor, but I have a hard time recognizing him in the movies because he just seems so different in everything I see him in.
Yeah. Like, he's easily moldable. I like
that. Yeah, he's got range.
Exactly, which is a huge bragging point for an actor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know at one point, Keanu Reeves was attached to the, or they were rumored to play Moon Knight, but a lot of people have rumored who Keanu would play because allegedly there's been rumors that Marvel and Keanu have been in talks for a while. Mm-hmm. Some people are thinking Namor, and some people thought it would be Moon Knight. We don't know that yet.
Honestly, I'd just be happy to have Keanu. Like, bruh, come on over. Jump on the Hollywood Marvel train. Let's go.
Oh, man.
Oh, man. It's a big train. There's rooms for lots.
There is a big train. Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah, and we don't have any kind of release date yet. We don't know when Moon Knight will potentially air.
No idea.
Yeah, if I had to guess, I'd say, unfortunately, maybe spring 2022 at the soonest, which is depressing when I say that out loud. So, we're going to move on and talk about the character of Moon Knight himself.
Bury the pain. Bury it, brother. Bury it deep.
I tried to, man, but the water just washes it back up.
How does F is for Family teach it? Bottle up the pain, Bill. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. All right, guys. So, Moon Knight was created in August of 1975. It's created by writer Doug
Moick.
Yeah, I was like, how do you pronounce his last name?
That's my one and solo stab, Moick. It's not changing.
Gotcha.
I'm confident. Yeah. I'm sorry if I'm wrong.
Moench, isn't there an N in his name?
No. Is there? No. I thought I wrote, I can't read my own handwriting. Give me a second.
It looks like
M-O, I think that's an N. So Moink.
Yeah.
Moink. Moench. Damn it. I'm getting worse. No. I can't read my handwriting. I can't tell if I wrote down an N or an A. So yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an N.
I'm gonna concede to you.
Oh, okay.
There you go. I'm gonna put this on you. You say the name as incorrectly as you want.
You know, brother, you've said Doug it enough Smith. For the both of us. and artist Don Perlin. Mm-hmm. Okay. Shout out to Mr. Doug here. Sorry we can't pronounce your last name.
Yes. Apologies.
Yep.
Last names are hard.
They are, especially when they're like that. Like, you know, you need to rearrange some of those letters. But Moon Knight's first appearance was in Werewolf by Night, issue 32.
Which, I've never heard of that series of comics. I kind of feel like that's almost House of Mystery or something like that. You know, like one of the runs when horror was a popular genre for comics, you know?
Yeah, the Werewolf by Night, he was one of Marvel's first attempts to do, like, horror superheroes. So he was a horror-based character. I think he predates, I think, Blade. I think he predates Morpheus. Morbius, the living vampire.
Right.
But he had a good bit of success back in the 70s. Moon Knight's first appearance wasn't that, and he actually played the bad guy. He played the heel to Werewolf by Night, which is interesting. Yeah,
it's not hard to imagine, especially if he had the same look.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He had the same look and everything, and it would be a few years later when Moon Knight finally got his own solo run that they would kind of go and we get the explanation for his origin and also what led him to the events in Werewolf by Night. And that would kind of explain, you know, why he was fighting this protagonist.
Exactly.
But let's talk a little bit about Mark Spector, a.k.a. Moon Knight, and his origin.
Yep. Yeah. So, out the gate, Mark Spector, if you've heard that name, congratulations. That's probably one of the more popular ones. But our boy Mark, he sounds familiar out the gate as a typecast character we've understood and heard beforehand. But the man has some aliases that make him very uniquely different, too. Out the gate here, I know that we got Mark Spector as the name, but then we also know him as Stephen Grant, which, if I understand correctly, that's the name he goes by when he's his millionaire self. He's, mm-hmm. you know, Mr. Moneybags, because he was a very well-to-do mercenary who invested correctly and became quite wealthy. And then, depending on the time of day, he's also Jake Lockley, who is a taxicab driver who's more on the streets. He's, down to earth. He's going to get his ears more in the actual shit and hear what's going on and see what's, you know, the criminal world is up to. He's also the Fist of Khonshu, quite obviously. We'll talk about that in great depths. And then Mr. Knight.
Yep. So let's talk a little bit first about how all this came to be. So with Moon Knight or with Mark, it was a while before he took on those other aliases. Of course, the last one being Mr. Knight, the most recent one.
Right.
But
now that I've whet your appetite, let's start from the beginning.
So he did start off as a boxer, but we can go even before that. So he is a man of Jewish descent, and he actually kind of resented his father for a while for fleeing to the States to escape, the persecution that the Jews were facing. Of course, as time has rolled on, it had to be retconned due to, you know, aging and whatnot.
Right.
But Mark was always kind of a strong-willed kid, one who would want to fight instead of trying to solve it any other way. But Mark, he would go on to become a boxer, and then at that point, he decided he was going to go and join the Marine Corps. He would go on to get, what's it called, you get kicked out of the Army? Disbarred? No, disband? What's it called?
Discharged.
Discharged, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, he got discharged like an old pimple, just.
So they popped him out the Army.
Yeah, popped him out the Army, yeah. You know, yeah. The pus comes out the discharge. Yeah,
they squeezed him just hard enough, you know.
Yeah, for disorderly conduct. So he was discharged from the Marine Corps. He would go on to become a spec ops agent for the CIA. And then after that, he would become a freelance mercenary for hire. And this is really when things pick up for Mark, because one job he takes for a Mr. Raoul Bushman. For those of you who have read any number of Moon Knight comics, recognize that name, specifically the last name, Bushman. That's that's definitely his go-to villain. That's the one that just doesn't know when to stop. Just leave it be. But he takes this job working with this this Bushman, Raoul Bushman, and this is in Egypt. And the job is pretty simple. Help me locate this archaeological dig site. There's things there that I really want to see and inspect. So they go in there under the guise that we're gonna check this place out and see what you can find. And there's a doctor there, I guess, like a, I don't know what you call somebody,
archaeologist.
Archaeology. There's Indiana Jones guy there.
Damn it! I was about to make the joke. Dr. Jones.
Yes.
You call him Dr. Jones.
Dr. J. His name is Dr. Alwyn, Peter Alwyn. And this guy, he's along there with him too. And then they're all able to find this archaeological dig site. And what happens there is that they discover that, oh, wow, there's actually a tomb down here. And there's appears to be treasure in this tomb. And it's at this point that that Bushman is like, yeah, I'm gonna need to get that real quick. So, you know, y'all just kind of hang back. And, of course, the doctor was like, no, you can't. That's not what this is for.
You said inspect. Yeah. The job says inspect.
The job said you wanted to find this. It did not say anything about there potentially being things of like immense value here or wealth for you to disturb.
Somehow the doctor and Mark both made Pikachu face like, wait, what? Yeah. You're here to take it?
You want
to
take this stuff? Right. The doctor was killed by Bushman. And it's at that point that Mark was like, all right, I think I've seen enough of this. And he goes to attack Bushman. Raoul Bushman beats the living hell out of Mark, leaves him lying in the desert for death. And it's at this point where another person who was with them in the expedition named Marlene, who would, of course, become the love interest for Mark, she and another local tribesman would take Mark and lay him before the statue of this Egyptian god named Khonsu.
Yep.
And it's here that this god appears to Mark in a vision and tells him, I will grant you life if you become my specter of vengeance. You become my knight of vengeance, and if you serve me. And Mark agrees to it because, I mean, look at your options.
Right.
And Mark is able to come too. And when he does, there's this cloth that's kind of draped around this Egyptian statue, this white cloth. Mark takes that, ties it around himself, and he is now the Moon Knight. He goes, he goes and he finds Bushmaster. Bushmaster's like, is that Mark?
Wait, Bushmaster or Bushman?
Bushman, I'm sorry, not Bushman. Yeah, I was get those
the
guys.
The stone the builders refused.
Yes. Yeah.
Real quick before you press on there, though, just a quick, you know, the more you know, like a little side paragraph on the main page here. So Khonsu actually is a real entity of Egyptian, you know, theology. Yeah. So Khonsu actually is the god of the moon, also translated as the god of travel, considering how the moon goes across the sky, or you know, that was the translation I read. He works alongside Thoth for managing time, which is actually kind of cool. Just the more you know, so you know Khonsu, who's also known as Khons, and what are the other names? I got them listed here. Khonsu, Khons, Chons, and others. Mm. But yeah, multiple translations. There you go.
There you go.
Egyptian theology.
Yep. I guess to add on to that, he and Seth do not get along very well at all, ever. Nope. And so what ends up happening is that in the rematch, Bushman versus Moon Knight, Moon Knight is able to win this time. He beats Bushman. And
well, at this time, Moon Knight also had powers bestowed upon him too, correct? So he
maybe.
Was maybe. Interesting. Yeah. We'll have to talk about that in a second.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought as much, but please continue.
Yes. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And this is really where things get interesting with the character. So what ends up happening with the whole run on Moon Knight here, especially in like in the early 80s when he first got his solo run, we get the introduction for his origin story. He goes back to the States, and this is when he acquires those aliases or those other personalities, if you will.
Yeah.
And that of the rich millionaire Stephen Grant, and then that of the cab driver Jake Lockley.
I instantly put like an accent in Jake's persona. Like
I'm Jake Lockley.
I'm Jake Lockley. I drive. Why that accent? I don't know, but you get the point.
Yeah.
Instantly, cab driver did not have a easy to understand accent. He was just like, you're a rough dude. He's got an accent no matter what, you know?
Yeah. You know, I don't know about this. For me, what comes to mind when you say that is I think of Chas from Hellblazer, you know, the best friend of Constantine who drives a cab.
Good point.
Has a thick accent, but,
There you go. Maybe stereotypes are there for a reason.
Yeah.
He's got like a New Jersey accent. I'm driving here.
Yeah. And so, like, at the time of the creation of Moon Knight and when these stories were being written, it was under the guise that Mark came up with these other aliases to, kind of maneuver around certain crowds so that when he's Steven, he could mingle amongst the other millionaires. Because, like you said earlier, Kevin, he took his money from mercenary work and invested it properly, became a millionaire. And, when he was, when he's Jake Lockley, you know, he's able to infiltrate more of the seedy underworld as a cab driver. You know, he's able to maneuver in that space more.
Kind of like, very relative to one Joe Chill, which we know, you know.
To Joe Chill?
What's Batman's, alter ego?
Matches Malone.
Matches Malone. Yeah, that's who I meant. I'm sorry, Joe Chill. Joe Chill was...
Yeah. Hey, I was going to try to find the relevancy there for you. I was like,
I appreciate you, but no, let me cover my own tracks. Excuse me, let me go the right way here. Mr. Matches Malone, which is actually a great criminal name. Let's just appreciate that for a second.
It really is.
Yeah.
Matches Malone. It's a pretty good one. Shout out to Grant Morrison. I believe Grant came up with that one.
Jake Lockley's not bad, but Matches Malone, man.
Right.
Alliteration.
Yeah, and Batman has like a whole like prosthetics that he puts on for the fake mustache and everything, an accent. Like
does Moon Knight do anything like that?
Who knows?
Damn it.
Who knows?
I'm trying to help Moon Knight here because he's the star of the night. Yeah. You know, he's the moon of the dadgummit.
You're lucky I still haven't memorized which of these soundboards does what.
I'm sad we haven't actually. How long have we had this thing? About over a year now?
No, about not 6 months. 6 months?
Yep. Really? Mm-hmm. Oh, it feels like we've had it for longer.
Nope.
Well, I'm going to give me the right one here. There we go.
Okay. But now, when things really get, before things get more interesting for Moon Knight, unfortunately, the first run is, it does pretty well, but because of the way that Marvel started marketing and selling certain comic books, it actually caused a decrease in sale for Moon Knight comics, and it got discontinued for a while.
What are some of those nefarious techniques, if you don't mind? Nefarious. That might be the wrong word to use, but what's up?
It wasn't anything, I don't think, intentional that Marvel did. They changed up some of their business practices, like how they sell certain books. So, like, they tried to sell more to the direct market, which works better now because we have access to the internet, and, you know, we're able to go straight to places like cheapgraphicnovels.com or instocktrades.com. You know, we're able to go to the websites like that or to the direct market and get it straight from them. But at that time, selling more strictly through the direct market meant that the middleman more or less was kind of taken out.
Right.
And so that meant like...
It would be cheaper to sell it, but
yeah,
less chance of exposing it to more people.
Exactly.
So
when people were going to like stores, they wouldn't see the Moon Knight books there as much or anymore, so...
What a strange time to change such a business practice as you have this new emerging character who potentially could have a lot of relevancy and more badass stuff. I bet. I'm going to put some gambling on multiverse theory here. So, you know, get ready for this bet to never come to pass. But I'm willing to throw money down that if they hadn't done such a marketing change, a change of maneuvering, at least, of, you know, how they sell the product. I bet you he'd be ranked higher amongst all of, like, the ratings of, like, top 100 Avengers or top blah, blah, blah heroes, you know? Because he's got low rankings for those, but he's still ranked. I bet you he'd be a more popular character, which in turn would have helped him with, like, you know, how known he is and how much, like, everyone gets to hear about him rather than what he is nowadays, where it's like he's this, you know, if you read the comics like most of our listeners do, yeah, you know who Moon Knight is, you know what's up.
Right.
But that's not a common household name nowadays.
Yeah.
So, give and take.
Yeah, it's it's like there's potential there, but it's also like I think maybe 1 or 2 years later he got picked up again, so he wasn't gone right. for that long.
Oh, he's come and gone. You know? Yeah, he's yeah. like Community. You can't cancel it for long.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how it is with, you know, a lot of comic book characters. Like, you know, they'll come, and then if they're not hitting at that moment, they'll stop, and then they'll start back up again. I mean, hell,
should I stay or should I go? Okay, that was not even Mary, that dadgummit. That was just lyricism.
For example, Shang-Chi, I mean, I don't remember the last time Shang-Chi had a solo run.
True.
But here he is now getting ready to have his movie.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had a resurgence just maybe 5 years ago. But
I hope that movie's good, dude.
Me too.
Did you see the post about all the crazy movies we're going to be getting here pretty soon, thanks to COVID postponing everything, and now we got, like, a scrunch of Marvel movies that are, like, all announced to us because some of them were postponed, you know?
I know that unfortunately everything got pushed back.
Everything got pushed back. But it's like now the knowledge of movies that we have, like the knowledge of movies to be at least in the next few years, has like expanded also because it's like you couldn't stop the movies that we knew were going to happen. And now only more movies have been announced, you know? But we'll talk about that on later episodes.
Hell yeah. There's going to be a lot of shit coming. If anything, though. The year with no movies have proved that we still thrive no matter what.
Amen. That's true.
There's too much good shit out there for us to not work.
It also proves that we, this podcast, still thrive, dadgummit.
Yeah. What did I say?
Well, I thought you meant like as an industry for the comic book and as we as nerds still thrive, but...
No. Oh, no, I was talking more selfish than that. I meant...
Oh, okay. Because I was going to bring it to the podcast if you didn't. But I'm glad we had the same yeah. thought there. So, yeah, there you go. Well, we as nerds also flourished this year, dadgummit.
Yes. Yes.
But we are happy to have our movies, too.
Absolutely. So, unfortunately, what happens, though, with one of Moon Knight's subsequent runs is they lean heavily into making Moon Knight more of a superhero. And I really think that this is where the tired trope comes from, that Moon Knight is Marvel's version of Batman. Is during like his second or third run. This is when he gets more of the gadgetry. This is when they lean more into like his origin with Khonshu. They really lean into him being a vigilante.
Interesting. So that was actually one of the questions I had in the chamber for you tonight. Mm. Being such a Batman aficionado that you are, I was going to ask you what your take was on that, particularly the conversation. Moon Knight is just Marvel's Batman, or Marvel's, you know, wannabe Batman, to be fair, because Batman, man, he's up there, you know. He's a big name.
Yeah.
Not many can compare to the Bats, you know.
I mean, like, so when people mention that argument, my response is you haven't. If you think that Moon Knight is Marvel's version of Batman, then you've probably only read subpar Moon Knight stories, because the good Moon Knight stories sets him apart from as being his own character.
Or to branch this out into more modern lighting, you've only clicked on some BuzzFeed clickbait article.
Yeah, doing you haven't read anything.
And you haven't read jack shit, and you only looked at like the speckles, the seeds that they threw out for you, being like, Batarang, Moonrang, look at that. Like, shut up, get out of here. So that was one of the conversations I wanted to have, because whenever one first hears about Moon Knight, we all probably thought the same nowadays if you had just recently learned about said character, because Batman's been around for a minute.
Yeah.
Batman's almost been around for a century. You know? And now we got Moon Knight up in here who's, you know, a reflective, if you will, a reflective wannabe version of Batman, if you don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
You know? But I think, and if you actually take time to read up on the character, you'll see that ain't the case.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, because there, I'm only going to reference two Moon Knight stories of the night, two that are my favorite. But, you know, I think that you do bring up a good point. Like, if you just look at the two characters on paper, you'll probably see a lot of similarities that would make you think, this is definitely like Batman.
And I would be forgiving if that's the case, because, again, a lot of the conversations we have about this are going to be people who are probably just learning about Moon Knight because, hey, did you hear about their potential TV show?
Right.
So I'm imagining that a lot of us out there, a lot of the homies even listening tonight, are probably going to have this corrective conversation with your known ones and your friends and your coworkers and all those other people outside of the podcast. How dare they not listen? Who need to be caught up on what our boy Mark Spector's up to.
Yes. Yeah, and that is fair because, I mean, you know, I guess for me, I just always have felt like there are actual, like, damn near duplicates that you guys could reference, but this just isn't one of them. Like, true. You know, Doom Patrol and X-Men, like, I don't care what anyone says. And I know that people don't have ideas. Ideas have people, but somebody stole something from somebody.
Okay. Well, wait, let's look at the timelines of both of these.
They came out at, like, the same. Well, Doom Patrol came out first, and then, when you know it, about 3-4 months later, here comes X-Men issue number one. Yeah. This is oddly familiar.
Or a more popularized one that people tend to not think about because one character is made much more popular than the other now, mm-hmm. arguably, Darkseid and Doomsday. Darkseid and Thanos.
Darkseid and Thanos, yeah, I knew what you meant. Yeah. Yeah, that is also true.
Thanos was second, by the way. He was thought up of in a daggum college class where someone wasn't paying attention.
Shout out to Jim Starlin, who, of course, made, you know, Thanos do his own thing, but... I mean, not to go too far off the rails here, but what's funny about the Thanos and Darkseid, the whole debate, is that when Jim originally made Thanos...
He was like Darkseid.
Yeah, he was... he had, like, a couple of similar... But he was more similar to Metron, like the guy who sits in the chair. That's why Thanos has that floating throne. Mm-hmm. He was made more similar to Metron, the guy who sits in the Mobius chair, if you guys read, you know, DC... the chair that you've probably seen Batman sit in and
exactly. some memes. Like, now we've seen the memes. Right. Yeah, so.
But that's who Thanos was originally modeled after, was Metron. And then I forget who was the editor-in-chief at the time at Marvel.
Dude, I want to say it was Jack Kirby who told him, nah, brah, if you're going to copy the big boy. Copy the man.
Yeah, copy that guy. Copy Darkseid. Yeah.
Who encouraged him to. Shoot.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But anyways, going back to the moon.
Yeah. Good question, though, about the whole Moon Knight Batman thing.
Right.
And we're going to get into why, I think that these characters are so vastly different.
Right, because we scratched the surface, but there's much more.
Oh, yeah.
Know? Yeah.
So.
We've only made a crater up in this.
A crescent-shaped crater.
Oh, that too. I was taking the pun one way, you took it another way, but I like it, because both are right. Both are right. Both are punny. Both are bad.
Yeah, that they are. We apologize for nothing, folks.
You listen to us. please don't stop.
So now what happens here is that they eventually decide to take Moon Knight in a different direction here. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say he meandered throughout the 90s, but I mean, if I was mean, that's what I would say, but that's, you know, kind of more or less what he was doing.
The 90s wasn't the best of times for the... good old comic book industry either, one could argue.
I mean, if you ignore the fact that they almost went bankrupt at Marvel, and
that's a big fact to ignore.
But they gave us Age of Apocalypse. They True. Gave, you know, it was a hit and miss decade. They gave us
Rob Liefeld, you know.
Yeah, we had Rob Liefeld. We had Jim Lee. Layfield. You know,
Jim Lee also.
Yeah, I mean, we had Todd McFarlane, you know.
Also, yes.
You know? There was good stuff there, but there was also, you know, not good stuff. Anyways, we can do a whole episode about the 90s comic book era.
I feel like we have. No. I think I'd remember that more if we didn't. Yeah. If we did. Yeah, let's move on.
So eventually what happens, though, is that they do decide to lean more into the whole concept that Mark Spector is actually crazy, that he has a dissociative identity disorder. Or multiple personalities disorder, and that the whole personas he had of Stephen Grant and Jake Lockley, that they weren't just these personas he came up with, but these are multiple personalities that he has, and that when one is active, that the other ones are, you know, kind of catatonic, that they're not aware. Think Fight Club. Like, it's something more akin to that.
Yeah.
So
not your Split, but your Fight Club. You're Tyler Durden.
Yeah. Rule number one. And then also there's the fact that they started to play with the ambiguity of Moon Knight. And for me, this is really when the character really starts to get interesting, is the fact that not only does this man have multiple personality disorder. But on top of that, the whole thing with Khonshu, it very well could have happened because he was severely beaten nearly to death by Bushmen, and that this whole thing was just this cognitive, fucked up, hallucination that he had, this kind of brain fog, that he was never contacted by an Egyptian god. Like, none of that's real. Like, this is all in this man's head. He already is suffering from one pretty extreme, kind of mental disability. Who's to say that this also isn't something that he's suffering from? And now, with all due respect to, all the writers who have written for Moon Knight, this is the aspect that the really good writers have really honed in on and focused on.
It's trials and hardships like these that can really make or break a character, because it's trials and hardships like these that can really make or break a real person. Where it's like, this is something that you can develop a lot from. I mean, this is a huge thing to overcome. You're diagnosed with multiple personality disorder? Like, oof. Yeah. Man, you got to be a heck of a person with a heck of a character to get past that.
Right.
To exist past that. So
to exist past, and to still have the fortitude to go out and fight crime, knowing that.
Exactly. Especially in this case. Maybe it helps him fight crime more. Maybe. I don't know. Technically, James McAvoy's split his character. One of them, the Beast, was superhuman, so it helped him to fight crime more. I digress. I'm just being funny.
But to your point though, like, there was a period in time, and this is no longer the case for Moon Knight, but there was a period where the more full the moon was, the stronger he would get.
Yep, and that's an aspect I kind of liked about it, because that really sold more the idea of the Moon Knight. Now, and I like this idea too, don't get me wrong. I like both aspects, the past and the more concurrent version of Mark Spector, where it's like, you got the original who was like, oh, the moon is full tonight. Yes, I am Moon Knight. Versus now, where it's like, yeah, I met Khonshu, he's cool. I'm not crazy, you're crazy. Cuckoo.
Right. And here's the thing though, because thankfully, a lot of the good modern writers, they didn't ignore that. They didn't pretend like it didn't happen. But what they did was they looked at kind of factually what went on during that comic run, where the moon would get full and he'd have, more strength, more speed, durability. Mm-hmm. They said, well, still, even at that point, everything that he did, a human being who was in peak physical condition would be able to pull off. So think Batman or Captain America.
Right. Actually, I'm going to fill in the blank here. Yeah. Before you get to the finish line, I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to take a whack. I bet what you're about to tell me is that most of these talented writers, and remember, guys, we tend to listen to stories quite a lot on this show, so we might have a thing or two about what writers do well versus what they suck at. I'm willing to bet that these good writers were really, really talented in making their stories ambiguous.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's hard to tell because they're not casting a vote. They're not saying, hey, he's guaranteed crazy. Look at all this evidence. They're giving you principles and points selling both sides of the argument, both sides of the coin, where it's like, yeah, he's crazy. Oh, but the moon's more full. Look what he's capable of doing in this fight scene. Yes. So come see, come saw. And that's the kind of thing where it's like the writers are forcing you to make your own decision, which we've come to in so many great storytells and many stories, So I'm taking a whack that's what you're about to tell me, right?
Something similar to it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was going to be also the fact that if you look at what he did, if the moon is, a crescent moon, then, he gets this kind of increase, maybe 25%. If it's,
if you had to put a number to it.
Right.
Yeah, if you had to guess.
If it's halfway full. About
25, a quarter percent.
And then, just kind of depending on how full the moon is, how much more strength he gets. Then, of course, if it's full, then he gets so much stronger and faster or whatever. But still, none of it breaking the human capability.
He's right out.
It's like the way that it was being pitched was like, well, I mean, all of this could definitely just be subconscious. Like the mind is powerful enough to be able to pull something like this off.
Right.
So
like the brain is tricking the rest of the body.
Yeah. It's not like when the moon was full, the man could take off and fly. He could, he'd be able to lift a few hundred pounds over his head, like no problem. Like while that's super strong and really impressive, human body in peak physical form is still capable of doing such.
Yeah. He just wouldn't believe that he can do such or lift such in broad daylight. Exactly. So all of a sudden he wouldn't even try because he just knew he couldn't.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's exactly what it was there. And so with that, guys, I want to talk a little bit. I don't want to spoil these stories too much because I want you guys to read these for yourself. But I want to whet your appetites with two stories in particular. You know, I want to, you know, I'm going to dab my fingers in the water and then let a little bit trickle down, you know, just to whet your appetite.
Let's just talk about the stories.
I'm gonna let this steak sizzle so you know you can smell it and like there man that's nice. You know,
actually don't talk about that, brother. We jumped right on the mics. I haven't had dinner yet. Let's move on. I'm starving. Like I'm gonna make something after this.
Hell yeah! So the first one that I want to introduce to you guys of the two stories that I would definitely recommend that you read before you check out the TV show is called The Bottom. And this was the Charlie Hudson run. And The Bottom, actually everything that Charlie Hudson wrote was really fantastic. But he did this 6-issue miniseries called The Bottom. And I think that this is quintessential Moon Knight reading. This came out around 05, I want to say, like right before Civil War, because then he writes stuff for Moon Knight during the Civil War. But essentially what happens here, and I'll just give you guys the introduction and then let you guys read it for yourselves. But what happens here is that Moon Knight first, like, he gives this really cool kind of introduction as to, and it's really cleverly written, as to, like, why New York needs Moon Knight. And, you know, he goes, not everybody's cut out for stuff like this. He says some really clever stuff like, you know, if aliens invade Earth, you have the Avengers. If a giant monster emerges in New York at the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man's dealing with, you know, your B-list villains. Okay, Daredevil's okay. Not going to leave Hell's Kitchen. That leaves me to deal with a lot of the scum of New York. And, you know, you see him just beating the shit out of some thugs who are trying to run away. You know, and it really does a good job of reminding people, yeah, street-level crime fighters are still definitely necessary, including Moon Knight. And,
yeah.
And what happens here is that he kind of just... he's giving us what we think is an account of his life. Not an account of his life, but it's kind of his life currently, like how things are going for him currently. Okay. He's going out every night kicking ass. He has his moon moon copter, which is, of course, shaped like a crescent moon.
Ah.
Yes. And, you know, he even, you know, he talks about that. Like, he has an ally called, he calls him Frenchie. I think his name is Jean-Paul Duchamp. Is his real name. Jean-Paul Duchamp. but John Paul is like his engineer, and he made the Crescent Moon ship. And I think Moon Knight even goes, you know, I'm pretty sure Frenchie almost quit when I told him that the ship needed to be shaped like a moon, like a crescent moon, but he knows why. He recounts that, you know, every night he goes out, he kicks ass, he stops crimes, he puts fear in the hearts of criminals. And he goes home to Marlene, and they have great sex. It's essentially what he alludes to. Like, this is what he does. And he goes, and I get to do that again and again and again. And we get to see, like, you know, just panels of him doing this on repeat. Okay. And then, like, you turn the page and you see that, oh, no, this is not currently this man's life. It was. And you see him now, and he has long hair. His face is shaggy. He hasn't shaved. And he's in a wheelchair. There's pill bottles and beer bottles all around him. You can tell by the background that he has no money. He has nothing, just the statue of Khonshu. And
that sucks.
And one of the things he says that I'll never forget, he says to Khonshu, I never asked you to become a superhero, but now I'm asking you to make me a superhero again. And essentially what happens here is that we're introduced to a flashback where, guess who? Fucking Bushman.
Yeah, that dickhead.
Yes.
That dude.
He and Mark are fighting atop a rooftop, and these guys are going at it. And Mark, he's giving an account of this fight, and he goes, you know, maybe I've done this one too many times. Maybe Bushman just knows me too well. Maybe he has my number, blah, blah, blah. But for some reason, it just wasn't hitting that night. Bushman had his number. And these guys are going at it hard back and forth, and both of them tumble off of the roof of this building. And the way that it's drawn is really cleverly done, because it looks like it's not high enough so that you die, but high enough that you get fucked up if you fall off this building.
Like, you still wouldn't want to fall.
Yeah, you don't want to fall off this building.
And this is still the bottom.
It's still the bottom, yes. Hmm. And what happens here is, because now the Mark in the wheelchair is telling us how he got in the wheelchair.
Of course.
So yeah, he falls off this thing, and so does Bushman. But Bushman is fortunately able to kind of recoup and not break anything. Mm. Mark shatters his legs, and this is definitely rated mature story, by the way, guys. Like, the
if you couldn't tell from all the sex reference earlier, yeah.
And like, Mark absolutely decimation shatters like both legs, like they are fucking gone. Like they are busted. And what happens is Bushman sees this and he's going in for the kill now. Mark is able to throw a couple of well placed Moon Knight rings. Moon rings. And they're able to get Bushman down. But Bushman falls like right next to Moon Knight. And Bushman, by the way, guys, if you don't know what it looks like, he's this really, really jacked, I think he's got to be African guy. And he's fucking disgusting to look at. He has these super jagged teeth and he bites into the face of Mark, which explains why he has the scar at the beginning of the story here. Yeah. I mean, he just bites, chomps down on his face. Moon Knight stabs him and is able to get him off of him. And then Moon Knight, busted legs and all, doesn't get off the ground, obviously, but he takes one of his little moon rings and kills Bushman and cuts his face off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Did you say Frank Miller helped out with this? Dadgum. Yeah. Wow.
You would think so.
Or Garth Enix at this point.
Yeah, sounds like Garth Enix stuff, huh?
Yeah.
But essentially what also ends up happening, guys, because that's all of the story I'm going to tell you guys. The reason it's called The Bottom is because Mark has...
the bottom of the Dadgum building.
Yes, he has literally and metaphorically hit rock bottom in this story, and it's about him trying to reclaim himself, reclaim his faith. He's mad at Khonshu because Khonshu allowed that to happen, when surely, if Khonshu's real, he could have stopped this. You know, he could have protected Mark.
Make the moon levitate me. Moonlight.
And so this is a great character study, and this also, I just love seeing, like, redemption stories, seeing a character who is brought down to the brinks of nothing and then is able to kind of rise back through their own efforts and accord. And so you see him eventually restore his faith in Khonshu, restores his faith in himself, and is able to go out there and kick ass. And also, guys, there's just this kick-ass arc he has in The Bottom with Taskmaster, and you get to see those two go at it. And
that's good.
Oh, yeah, it's legendary. It's epic. So definitely The Bottom is one to check out.
What's the second one, brother?
The second one is one that's more recent. This one came out, I think, in 2015. This is all new, all different Marvel, Moon Knight, written by Jeff Lemire. Now, I've probably gone on record. If not, I'll go on record here now and say that all new, all different Marvel was all fucked up. It was such a terrible idea. Now,
wow. Yeah. All new, all different?
Yeah, all new, all different Marvel was fucking dumb.
In, like, elevator pitch one sentence, what was wrong with that? Just to clarify what exactly you mean by that particular marketing scheme.
I'm glad you asked, actually. So
you know me, brother. I'm here to bring clarity.
Yeah.
I'm here to bridge the thoughts between you and the homies. So there we go.
Well, well.
Indeed, indeed.
Bold of you to think I have real thoughts.
Oh, I know. That's why I'm here. I have a doctorate in this, brother. It took me. I had to write a thesis on how you think. That my paper. My professor's like, bitch, what is this?
Oh, shit.
You fuck with the war? I mean, come on.
So, what all new, all different Marvel is, guys, for those of you who may not remember this, is Jonathan Hickman did an Avengers run, which overall was really damn good. And it culminated
We talked about that not too long ago. Yeah.
It culminated with the 2015 Secret Wars arc. And long story short, the way that this arc ended was with the destruction of the 616 universe and the Ultimate Universe. And it was reconstructed with the remnants that were left over, a.k.a. the writers and editors were able to keep what they wanted to keep and discard what they thought was trash. So they could kind of reshape the Marvel Universe to their own image. This is how Miles Morales came into the main Marvel Universe.
It's kind of awkward how purges like that happen. Mm. Yeah. Because once you break them down and what actually happens and kind of like push the story to the back burner and actually say like, okay, this is what's going on. This is the red tape of this. This is why certain characters in certain universes, et cetera, cease to exist. And it's like, oh, it's really weird because all these were still, you know, concurrent. They're being worked on, you know. We're still reading that, but okay.
Right.
I guess that's done because we don't want to keep writing that.
Yeah. Yeah, essentially.
Yeah. Which is just fun.
You know, it's funny because, like, you mentioned that. I don't know if you remember this, but when we talked about the Ultimates, we mentioned this a little bit about, like, the evil necessity of rebooting your continuities. Like, unfortunately, there is no real answer. Like, every once in a while, maybe not as often as Marvel and DC do it, but every once in a while, there is a need to kind of, this is too much. We got to...
You know, not to sidebar for too long, which, homies, we always do. We always do. Forgive us. Hopefully it's fun. You know, we're going to live. Like, most of the homies listening right now tonight, or during the day, whenever you're hearing this, we're going to live through the period when Captain America is going to be rebooted, and he was no longer a soldier in the Civil War, but some, or excuse me, a World War II, right? Yeah. In World War II, but... Maybe more, you know, in Afghanistan or something. Something more present. Yep. Like you said, Batman was no longer watching, you know,
Zorro,
but instead, you know.
Some meme lord did the math and said that Batman statistically would have been watching Space Jam if it would have happened. Like, if he were Batman today, that statistically speaking, he would be leaving the theater from watching Space Jam.
He got scared when the Monstars came to be.
There's no way Michael Jordan can win, guys. I gotta leave.
I can't do this. I can't do this. Look at that one. He went from small orange to big and orange. Oh, man. Did you see the movie poster for the reboot of Space Jam they're doing, by the way?
With LeBron James, right?
Yeah. Instantly, my memorabilia, like, how dare you?
But you know what? Kids today need a Space Jam, so I'm not mad at it.
That's what's wrong with the world. We don't have a Space Jam. But...
Yeah.
I'm going to watch mine instead.
Yeah.
Because my Space Jam was the... That's
right. Y'all going to have the same kind of soundtrack we had, huh? But no.
Who'd they get? They get R. Kelly. R. Kelly yep. made...
I Believe I Can Fly. Yeah. Song of a Generation. Ignore the man and all his atrocities.
Ignore the man.
Yeah.
You don't have to watch all 20-plus episodes of, you know, Coming Out the Closet.
Right.
By the way, I finally did that. I'm not sure if I told you that, but I finally watched all, like... I'm sorry, that's a lie. I watched a chunk of. I'm not even sure I watched most, because after a while, it's just so many. I can't do this anymore. Yeah. Anyways. Let's go back to...
That's what All New, All Different Marvel is. It's about R. Kelly and Space Jam.
There's a homie out there who's, like, genuinely listening. Right. Like, guys, you didn't finish. Guys, go back. Yeah. Homies, we're back. Yeah. Okay.
So, again... All in All Different Marvel, 616 and Ultimate Universe destroyed, reconstituted. Marvel was able to take what they wanted to keep and throw away what they didn't want to keep and then kind of redo things they wanted to redo.
Luckily, we still got to keep Moon Knight, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting about this run is, once again, it was written by Jeff Lemire. And I've read quite a bit of his stuff, but I am most familiar with Jeff Lemire. From his Old Man Logan run. I read his entire run on Old Man Logan, and it was really good. I was, when I first started reading his Old Man Logan run, I didn't have that high expectations because I was like, Old Man Logan doesn't need a series. Mm. Like, his one-off by Mark Miller was good enough.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah, it's a great one. Yeah. It doesn't need any kind of follow-up. But no, surprisingly, it was really damn good, and that sold me on Jeff Lemire. Cool. Or Lemire, however you pronounce his last name.
Yes.
And what this is here is you see Mark kind of like standing off like in like this, I believe it's like this kind of vast Egyptian night, and he's talking with this unseen voice who was Khonshu, and he's trying to guide Mark to him and tell him that what he needs to do, tell him, you know, that he needs to get back on track again and that the world needs the moon night and this, that, the third. And when Mark comes to, we see that he is in an insane asylum. And basically, guys, what this story is, have you seen this meme, Kevin? The meme of like the Batman Arkham theory, that is the meme shows Batman in a straight jacket, and it says that.
I read about that before I saw the meme, but
same shit.
Exactly.
You know, the whole
it's theme. Clever. Yeah. Very clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for those of you who don't know what we're talking about, it's the whole idea that Batman isn't actually Batman, but Bruce Wayne is this crazy guy who has delusions, and every one of his rogue galleries is like cleverly actually someone who either is an inmate or someone who works there at the asylum. I shouldn't say inmate, someone who's a patient. You get it.
Also, yes.
Yeah. Like, I remember they said Two-Face is like one of the orderlies who is really nice to Bruce when everyone's around, but when there's no doctors around, he's really mean to all the patients. I forget what they say for some of the other guys, but
I think Joker was actually his doctor.
Yeah, I think Joker was his doctor. But that was the whole idea of like the Batman Arkham theory, so that he's actually crazy, and he's trapped inside the asylum. That's essentially like the short term loose leaf basis for Jeff Lemire's Moon Knight run. Because he's in this asylum, his orderlies are mean as shit. He sees people around him that he recognizes from his past, but then is revealed that Mark has been in this asylum essentially since he was 12. He's been instituted since 12.
Wow.
So none of that shit could have happened.
So who's Marlene then in that story? Just real quick.
I think that she was, I forget. He saw her, and I don't remember if she was a doctor or if she was another inmate. It was one of the two, though.
Maybe a nurse?
Yeah, it could have been a nurse, yeah. Okay. But what happens is that eventually he is able to follow, like, the voice of Khonshu, and he's able to fight off some of these orderlies, and he makes it to the roof of the building following the voice of Khonshu, and when he makes it out onto the roof, he sees that New York is half buried in sand, and there's a big-ass pyramid in the background, and Khonshu is saying that, listen, you need to stop Seth. Seth will destroy everything that you know and love. I need you to be my avatar once again. I need you to remember the Moon Knight, and I need you to stop Seth. And Mark's like, shit, I need to do this. At that point, the orderlies catch up with them. They hit him with a needle that has some kind of a sedative in it, or sedative in it, and at that point, there is no sand burying most of New York. There is no giant pyramid in the background. It's just normal New York, and the orderlies are telling them, "Dude, there's nothing there. Like you're hallucinating," and like his psychiatrist, like his main doctor, is concerned because they were making progress. You know, she's the one who told him that. Okay, look, there is no. You know, there is no Moon Knight. You've been drawing, you know, Moon Knight for years in these books here. And she shows in the books, and she talks about Khonshu and all that. And she goes, like, none of this is real. And what's really clever about Jeff Lemire's run is that he really plays with the ambiguity here of Moon Knight. And this is also where we get Mr. Knight. Nice. Now, it took me a while before I was even willing to read this run, just because I never really like the look of Mr. Knight, if I can be honest. I like the more traditional look of Moon Knight. To me, Mr. Knight, it's like, I don't know, man. You don't really look like an intimidating superhero. I don't see how you can strike fear like you should.
I'm about to look it up. Yeah, give me that. Aw, that's lame. He's just like in a white suit.
Yeah. This is Moon Knight in a suit.
That's not cool. See, Moon Knight with the like,
the cowl and the...
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, that withstanding, you actually get used to it. And I think it's mostly due to the fact that the writing for this run is exceptionally done. Like, this is also what I have to consider to be quintessential Moon Knight reading. I think that if you guys really want to jump into Moon Knight, that this is another really good jumping point that is a really good read. This one, while the bottom and Charlie Hudson, like, his arc plays a lot with how do you come back from, how do you regain your faith, and maybe your God, and also in yourself.
And your sanity.
Yeah. Well, he knows he's not going to get that back. But that's what the bottom really talks about. Like, how do you rise up from the pits? But all new, all different Moon Knight really plays with the ambiguity of the origins of Moon Knight. How much of his origin is real? Is Moon Knight something that maybe he saw a hero on TV named Moon Knight? Maybe that hero was Jake Lockley, or maybe it was Stephen Grant.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where he got some of these aliases from in the insane asylum. Mm. So they do a really good job of playing with the ambiguity there, and the entirety of that arc was exceptionally well done, in my opinion. So well,
that's really cool.
Yeah, one of the few good things to come from all new, all different Marvel. One of the very few things to come.
Nice.
Anyway, so go ahead.
No, I was just saying, just a quick summarizing breakdown for the homies. Yeah, well, that's a couple of good recommended stories. We really need to do that more often. Just like toss a good one or two, maybe three out whenever we do these character breakdowns, these character glances, because, that's definitely a great one. I mean, both of those sound intriguing. I really like the idea of the exploration of the insane asylum version of Mark Spector, you know? But yeah, man, what else do we want to break into? We talked...
Let's talk about this here. So
what's up?
Just a few years ago, I don't really know what it was specifically, but it seems to be a trend. Like 3 years ago, a lot of people were really hyped and looking for a Moon Knight Netflix series. And I don't remember. Maybe there was a rumor that came from Marvel saying that.
I think it was a rumor because I think we even discussed it, you and I. Yeah. Like, oh, that'd be kind of cool. Netflix would be the proper platform to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
Because Netflix has shown us that they can do the good knit and grit Marvel superhero shows. Something that's grounded but fantastic enough for us to really, like, jump into and just kind of get lost in the mystery and adventure of it all. Yeah, I remember that kind of like fizzled.
Yeah, it kind of went away.
Yeah.
And then Marvel announced that they're doing it on Disney Plus, and then like, oh shit, so no, this is happening.
Yeah.
So, well, that's going to ask you.
Now, like, the old wounds are back. But what's your question? What's your question?
How do you think this show will be on Disney Plus? And do you think it's going to meet your expectations for Moon Knight?
So Moon Knight's... cool. I like Moon Knight. Moon Knight's awesome.
Thank you for avoiding the question, but with vague, ambiguous statements that...
homies, I'm worried. Really... I mean, I need to see another Disney show first before I have any faith in them regarding their Marvel TV stuff, you know? Because I've seen them do Mandalorian, and that's been fun, that's been cool... but we're talking about a character that's got a little bit more grit than what Star Wars has sold me so far, you know? Mm. We're talking about someone that gets, you know, down and dirty and bloody even. So, I don't know, I'm hesitant. I'm open-minded because I want this obviously to be a great show. I want to binge watch it and watch it again, okay? I want this to be the Daredevil-shaped hole in my heart that gets filled.
Right.
But... I'm nervous because at the same time, this is a Disney platform. This is something where it's like, hey, you know, this is a family streaming service. I don't know, man. I'm worried that they don't have the cojones to give me something as gritty and as grounded and as bloody as this needs to be, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a common state problem regarding Disney-led Marvel stories, you know? Have at it as you will, you know, your opinion matters, but that's mine.
Yeah, I think, so we know that Marvel Disney is very well capable of producing high quality stories that
they got
are
the money for it.
I mean, like, money doesn't equate to creativity. But no. Marvel has given us some really strong creative products, and I won't deny that. I mean, hell, like, look at most of the MCU. It's extremely entertaining.
True.
And it has a lot of rewatch value. But there's just some properties that, tonally speaking, Disney really can't touch. I think I'd feel more comfortable, honestly, if Moon Knight had a home at Hulu, which Disney also owns. I mean, that's what Hellstrom is at. And
true.
Admittedly, also, I need to get into that show.
I was just about to ask you.
Yeah,
we began an episode. I don't remember finishing it. Did I fall asleep during it? No, that sounds like something I would do.
I had to go to bed. I think you stayed out here. I don't know what happened with you.
I might have fallen asleep. I know me. I know me, man. I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. And my strength is I'm good at falling asleep.
Well, there you have it.
There you have it. So I need to go revisit that as well, see how the quality of that show is. Never mind. Notes for another episode.
Yeah, my point being that I think that Hulu definitely has more grounds to do something that's more dark, something that's more gritty, something that's more even visceral or gory. And to an extent, you're going to need all of that to do a Moon Knight show. I mean, because Moon Knight is very brutal. He is, you know, he's very physical.
Yeah.
And I don't know exactly what elements of Moon Knight Marvel wants to play with here. And then on the other hand, I think, you know, Moon Knight's a very particular intellectual property for them to handle. Out of all of the toys at their disposal, why would you go to the one that would potentially be more difficult for you to pull off unless you had an idea that you could do it?
Interesting. That's a fair strategic play to kind of glance at there, brother. I don't know. Well, obviously it was chosen for a good reason, and I'm hoping that that also means it is, you know, both serious and handled well. Obviously, I want it to be very popular too. For instance, I think about some of the Hulu shows like Legion. Legion was really good. Yeah.
But that was FX.
That was put FX?
Yep.
Well, give it to them. Hell yeah. That's a great show. I kind of equate that and Hulu together because that's where we...
That's where
we cheated. We watched it on something else, but that's where it's from.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I think we did Plex.
Yeah.
But when I think of Hulu Marvel, I think of like... Cloak and Dagger, which did not do very well.
Actually, that was on a even different platform, I think.
What the hell, man? What is on Hulu?
Hulu had that one Marvel show that was based on the YA comics, the Runaways. They had the Runaways.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that was Hulu. I watched most of season one, like at least half of season one.
So, give me a quick breakdown. How did it perform?
I thought it was good for what it was. Like, I just don't think I'm that big a fan of the property.
Yeah, okay.
But I think it was well adapted.
Oh, okay.
Like,
okay.
It was entertaining to watch. Yeah. You know, it wasn't like it was.
I was looking at your face for give and take. Like, I was waiting. Like, is he just hamming this up for the homies real quick? I can't tell. I don't know.
I wouldn't recommend some of that shit to you guys if I thought it was shit.
Oh, yeah. No. We'd be sold out if we did.
Hell yeah.
But, we ain't because we broke.
As far as what else they had, because you're right. I feel like they should have, I think they just kind of show a lot of Marvel properties that other shows or other stations. Yeah.
Because who did Cloak and Dagger then, if not?
I forget the name of that platform. I know, like, one reason I didn't watch is because I was like, well, I don't have access to whatever that is, so.
That's fair. That's like a AMC streaming or something weird like that. Like, I feel like that's eventually going to be a thing if it isn't already. If it is.
Oh, it is, actually.
It is?
Yeah, because I tried to watch Better Call Saul season 4 to let me watch, like, the first 3 episodes and then one to charge me.
That's dumb.
And I was like, I'll watch the commercials. Just give it to me free.
Give me my bathroom breaks.
Right.
Come on. Yeah.
But whatever. No, I still have a similar concern to you, like how will Marvel handle like these more dark tone things? Because depending on when Moon Knight comes out, it may be a catalyst for what we can expect with Blade. Like, how are they going to handle Blade?
Yeah. Which they better dadgum treat it right. All right? You got Mahershala Ali in that dadgum seat. You don't drive him somewhere he doesn't need to be, okay?
I'm going to call care it now. Of him. Tim Buck says that every vampire he cuts just turns into dust.
Get out. How dare you say something so controversial yet so brave? All right? You're probably right. I got $5 right there with you. That's a confident bet. I never bet above two. Get out. How dare you ruin this night?
Damn.
This night of Moon Knight. I did throw that in there.
Yes, you did.
But yeah, man.
That is something that I wonder about sometimes. Like how...
Let's see. Well, I will happily revisit the question when I get a Marvel Netflix... A Marvel Netflix TV show. I want it again. A Marvel Disney Plus streaming show.
Yeah. Same here. They did say that WandaVision won't be out until January, unfortunately. So it will not be December.
Well, that's not bad. Then that means we start the year off pretty strong.
That's true.
We got probably what will more than likely be a shorty series for that or something.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to WandaVision. I think it's going to be great. And I do wonder about like the quality for these shows. Maybe not so much the quality, but like. Yeah, I guess so. I'm curious to see how these shows are going to be.
Quality is a blanket term, so that works. Yeah,
I mean, because like some of these, I feel confident for like WandaVision and Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I think even Loki. I think they're gonna have a lot of fun with Loki. Mm-hmm. I mean, they introduced it as like Loki meets Quantum Leap, and I'm like, that's a really great premise.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great character for that premise. Yeah.
And then there's others that I'm a little more worried about, such as Miss Marvel, She-Hulk. And also like they've been so up in the air with the Hawkeye TV show. Like, I think it's going to be more Kate Bishop than our,
I read something the other day where they're actually going to kind of like showcase,
The deafness of, I kind of think it was Clint Barton. God damn it. It's like, what is his name?
You learn so many fake names, you start to forget some of the fake names.
That's absolutely what it is. Yeah, I'm like, what's this character's fake name? Reveal time for the homies, if I can be vulnerable for a second.
What's up?
There's times in the day where I do quiz myself.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense, actually. That's how you get better, you know? Yeah. You're sitting there like, okay, name every speedster on the DC Force, on the Speed Force. Go! And you're just like, Wally West. I can see you doing it, actually. It makes sense. Nice.
It's probably not the healthiest thing in the world, but...
Hey, no. That keeps your brain active. Thank you. You're keeping synapses built, keeping them strong.
Yeah, but, my brain's going to, beat itself up for a while now. You couldn't remember Clint Barton? Come on, man. He's...
Tomorrow, you got 20 brain ups you got to do. That's right. Okay?
20 right. brains up.
And then a 10-minute trial of reciting the Green Lantern's oath. Yes. Okay? Not one word missed.
Not one word missed.
There you go.
Oh man,
that's cool though. I like it.
So you got anything else on Moon Knight? Any other things with the TV show, with the character?
We don't exactly have an expected date or anything like that. Or do we at least have notes, rumors, or news regarding its production right now? Like, are they in production? I got a phone. I'm gonna look.
Yeah, that's true. I guess we have this thing called the internet, huh? Yeah. But to my knowledge, no. Let me ask you this. How do you think Disney's going to handle the origin of Moon Knight? Or do you think they're going to handle the origin at all?
I'm more the latter, because Disney, I think, is going to be clever to kind of like give us the origin sparingly throughout the season, I think. But I think by season one's end, we're going to have a confident idea as to what's happened to him.
I think that they're probably going to lean into Jeff Lemire's run. I think we're going to start him off in the insane asylum.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I think that Disney would do.
Okay.
Could be wrong, though. I don't know.
The first season of the Moon Knight TV show, we were way too early, dude. We pulled the trigger on this episode way...
Not even 2022?
No, 2022 is when it's going to premiere.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said probably spring 2022.
But dude, that's too far away.
It is.
We're talking about this 2020, so that means I want it in like 2 weeks. Marvel, get on it.
Well, I mean, look at it this way. 2020 is thankfully almost over.
True. Yeah. Knock on wood.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yep. You never know, brother.
But that this isn't wood.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wood. You hear that, homies? Probably not. All right. Dynamic mics. But yeah, man, that's all I got.
Yeah.
Homies, thank you guys for listening. Same as always. Thank you guys for participating with us. Definitely, if you have not yet, hit that subscribe button. Feel free to continue listening to more of our episodes if you haven't thus far. And, show your homies some love.
Absolutely, guys. Mm-hmm. Let us know what you think about the character of Moon Knight. Let us know what you guys want to see from it. Let us know what your favorite stories from Moon Knight are that maybe we didn't mention. Mm-hmm. Do you not think that the bottom or all new, all different Moon Knight is as good as I hype it up to be? Well, you're wrong. And let me know what you think is the superior Moon Knight story.
Nice.
Also, guys, if you have any kind of suggestions that you'd like for us to discuss on the podcast, let us know. We'd be more than happy to give it a once over. And if it's something that we think we can handle, we'll definitely put it on.
Hell yeah, we're always looking out for those, always reading up on our messages and everything you guys send us. So again, feel free to shoot us a message. That is available to you at most platforms, Facebook, Twitter, email, even if you want to do that, you know, internet snail mail, which is not snail mail. We get it very quickly. But also, last and definitely not least, hit up the Patreon if you haven't already. Go to patreon.com/superherohomies and sign up for the rest of our cool, nerdy commentary, because you know we're going to be talking about some cool things in the weeks to come. So definitely, thank you guys again for listening, and come back next time on the Superhero Homies.
Absolutely. So until next time, my name is Superhero Homie Q.
And I am Superhero Homie Kevin.